Tonight's message, we're going to be focusing on 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. I need to turn there myself. Here we go. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? I am not bringing this verse as something to beat you over the head, to make you feel guilty about not helping people. This is actually something, you know, 1 John is written that you may know that you have eternal life. And one of the thermometer tests is how do you respond internally when you see someone in need? You see, this morning I laid the groundwork for you that God is love. And that what he is working in you is his love. He sheds abroad his love in your heart. And what he wants from you is to act in love. And also, that according to the Bible, it is God that creates in you the desire to act in love and gives you the ability to act in love. So this is a way to examine yourself. How do you respond internally? Do you see the work of God in you that moves you to help others? One of the things that I've been impressed by with this church is that this church, when they see people in need, they bend over backwards and do whatever they can to meet that need. I remember our missionary of the month when we found out as a church that he was trying to raise money to build a home for himself because his rent situation was getting intolerable. The rents just kept going up and up and up. And it was eating up more and more of his missionary income. And his goal was to raise $10,000 so that he could build himself a house right on the same property as his church in the Philippines. And I remember when he came and he had been on deputation for a while, and the church asked him, they said, men in the church asked him, said, how much have you been able to raise so far? And he said a figure of just over $2,000. And one of the men asked him, said, in cash? And he said, no, mostly in promises. And our small church, our little church, raised the entire amount. Not the deficit, the entire amount. And I remember seeing him and his wife burst into tears, and they presented him the check for over $10,000. And I remember seeing the look of confusion on the missionary's face when he looked at the check, because Seth told him, look at the check. Because he was just going to put it away, wasn't he? He was just going to put it away, and you said, look at the check. And he looked confused. And he looked at you, and he looked at the check, and he looked back at his wife, and he looked at you, and she got concerned. And she came over, and as soon as her eyes saw the check, she went, and she just started weeping. And then Brother Cox, he talked about his heart's desire to start a church and about the great need He said heroin addiction is becoming a problem there, and he saw the great need of it, and he desperately wanted to start a church there. And what did our little church do? Gave him to help him get his church started. Again and again, I've seen men sacrifice. There was a young man, he doesn't go to our church, but he was struggling financially, and he was telling me about it, and I said, I know a man who understands God has given him the understanding of finances. I said, you should talk to him. And I directed him and took time out of his schedule to help the young man deal with his finances. I know that many of the men in this church, besides me, many of the men in this church tried to help him. I've seen again and again, this is the thing that encourages me about this church, is again and again and again, I see the people of this church. I see this work in you. I see that again and again in this congregation. I see this work. You should be encouraged. You should let this uplift your heart, because I know that there are times when you see your own personal failings and they hurt you and they cause you to berate yourself. Encourage yourself with this. I see the work of the love of God in you. And rejoice in that, because this is one of the assurances of salvation. You can't love like this except God work in you. That's why John here asks the question, if you see a brother in need and there is no response to that need, how does the love of God dwell in you? This is what God does in you. He works in you and through you to produce in you the character of God, and that is love. Now, about this verse, I want you to consider when you see people. One, you are not responsible for the entire world. This says, when you see a brother in need and you have the world's good. There are several limiting factors here. This is as you have occasion, as God brings people into your sphere of influence and into your life that you can interact with, and they have a need, and you have the ability to help them with that need, then yes, you ought to help them. Some things about this. One, is it a need? Wants and needs are separate things. You are not responsible to buy someone a prettier car or nicer clothes. We're talking about needs. I loved the way that the people of this church donated to help Mrs. Nadzanja after her husband died, and we found out that she had no winter clothing for her children. And our church stepped in to get winter clothing for the children. So that little Precious and Emma would have winter coats that they could wear to keep them warm. The last time she came, she wanted us to know that she loved us and appreciated what we had done, but she was moving. So she was moving out of the immediate area. Needs, not wants. Secondly, this word, if you see your brother, this is more than just the concept of visual seeing, but it conveys the idea of knowing, a certainty. That it is, in fact, a need. I don't give to people normally. I don't give to people who stand out on the road and hold up signs saying, I need money. not because I'm hard-hearted, but because I don't know if it's a need. You see, the Bible puts, love puts restrictions on us. Would I, there was this horrible thing I saw a video of. A man, it was, they called it a social experiment. A group of people, what they did was they had a guy dress up like he was homeless and sit on a sidewalk in a, I think it was like, it was a big city where lots of foot traffic. And they had him sit on a sidewalk and he held a sign that said, need money for booze and drugs. And he'd just sit there grinning at people. And they filmed it for a while, people passing by. And there were a number of people who stopped and dropped money in his cup. Then they brought in a child and they took away his sign. And they gave him a different sign. And it said, single father, unemployed single father, please help. And for a long time, nobody stopped. And finally, this woman stopped. And she said, I'm so sorry. I wish I could do more. And she pulled out, she said, this is all the tips I made tonight. And she gave him the money and she said, may I pray for you? And then all of a sudden, this guy, he ran up. And he said, hey, I want to talk to you. He said, and he explained to her that it was a social experiment. But the fact of the matter is, it's in the news on a regular basis of people catching con men asking for money. There was a lady who had been out begging, and this guy was filming her from a distance. And when she left her spot, he followed her, and it showed her go to a brand new, nice car. And she cleaned herself up and got on better clothes. And he filmed her and confronted her. He said, you're lying to people. You're stealing from people. You're telling people you're homeless and you're not. So I don't want to be in a situation, and I've talked to people. This isn't just, you know, stuff I've seen videos of. There was a man who said to my face, he said, I can make more in one day than these guys can make working a week at the lumber mill. Begging. He lived in a house. He had a big screen TV. And he'd go down once a week. He'd go down to the city and he'd beg. And then he'd come back and spend the rest of the week just hanging out. I don't want to be in a situation. Let me ask a question. Am I helping someone? The Bible says if you should not work, you should not eat. Not if you can't work. Somebody who's crippled or debilitated by age or some other thing where they can no longer earn an income. Or maybe they're just in a situation where they're looking for a job and they can't find one. If they are rendered in a situation where they cannot earn an income, we who have the resources ought to help such a person. But the Bible says clearly, if they refuse to work, then we ought not to support that. Or what if your money is like that, you know, it wasn't a sham. The guy really was. What if he really was going and buying booze and drugs? Ought we to support such behavior? That's why I don't give to people who are out panhandling. I want to know that the help I'm giving is actually meeting a need and not enabling themselves to destroy themselves. Love puts on us a burden to find out about the person to understand, do they have a need? You know, our church put in a policy about helping people. And I'll tell you what, since we put that policy in, we don't get as many solicitors. And you know what? It's not that we're just turning them away. We're like, okay, if you want help from us, then you're going to have to submit to and take part in a discipleship process. And that usually is like that just takes care of it. They're not interested. They just want cash. But we not, you know, the Bible tells us not to be weary in well-doing. Yes, there are a lot of frauds out there, but there are also people who are sincerely seeking for help. And like I've already cited, this church repeatedly has sacrificed to help those who are in real need. I have been the beneficiary. When my parents died, first my father and then my mother, people in this church helped me to be able to go and be a comfort to my family on the West Coast. And at great expense. It's not cheap to, at short notice, fly out to the West Coast. And so I'm thankful for that. I did not get to see my father before he died. I did get to speak to him on the phone before he died, but I did get to actually see my mother and speak to my mother about the gospel before she died. And so I'm thankful for that. God is going to put people in our lives who need our help, and it's not always going to be financially. There are going to be people hurting, suffering, who need love and care. And if we are the children of God, then we ought to see our hearts moved for their need. If you can look on someone who is in need and not feel moved to do something about it, then there is something seriously wrong in your life if you claim the name of Christ. Either that is a false profession, or you have undealt with sin issues in your life that are blocking the channel of grace in your life. In either situation, you need to go to the Lord and you need to ask Him to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you. You know the amazing thing Pastor Weigel and I were talking about is in Matthew chapter 18, it talks about how to deal with a person who's a professing Christian and refuses to repent. It gives you a couple of step process. You know, you go to him individually, then you go to him with one or two witnesses, then you bring him before the church, always trying to win him to do what is right. And then it says, finally, it says that if he will not listen to the church, let him be to you an unbeliever. Not that he's lost his salvation, but treat him like as if he was an unbeliever. And the great thing about that is that, you know, even if he is saved, how do you fix the problem? The exact same way if he's lost. You go to God through Jesus Christ and you say, I have sinned. I have done that which is wrong, and it has profited me nothing. Dear God, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You make your Christian life right the same way you get saved. You clear that channel by going to God and asking for forgiveness. And you know, in the Lord's Prayer, that is presented as a daily thing that, you know, that as part of our daily prayers, we ought to be asking for forgiveness. God knows our frame. He knows what kind of people we are. That often, in many ways, we sin, even as believers. And we need to keep that channel clear, not let it get clogged up. So, like I said, I don't want you to feel guilty about this. This is an opportunity. If you say, wait a minute, not responding in a desire to help those in need, I'm guilty of that. I don't want you to destroy yourself over this. I want you to be encouraged. This is an opportunity for you to do something about it. That there is an answer. And that answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you are saved or lost, the answer is the same. He is able to cleanse you from your sin and able to open that channel of grace. And friend, if you find that at times you struggle in your Christian walk, but you do see your heart moved with compassion for those who are in need, who are suffering, then be encouraged. This is the love of God working in you. This is a witness to you that you have God in you. I wanted this extended message. I see it mentally as one thing, from Sunday school till now, as one thing. God communicating himself to us. And that by accepting Christ, a channel is opened up from God to us, whereby we can receive his life-giving love into ourselves. And that we are to become a channel, allowing that and directing that to flow out to others. And this is our direction, right here. Where do I flow this? Well, as God brings people into your life who are in need, if you're able to meet the need, you do so. Now, a brief touch. I wanted to touch on the priorities of love. I've taught you guys that before. But you are very limited in your resources. I don't care how much money you have. You're very limited in your resources. There are more people in need than you can possibly help. You only have 24 hours a day. And no matter if you had all the money in the world, it would not be enough to help everyone who's in need. So, the Bible says that first priority is your relationship with God. You must, by your duty to God, if you are his child, you must make sure that you are setting aside time every day for your relationship with him, to spend in time in prayer and feasting from his word. You need to give some of your resources in support of the ministry. Your next priority is your immediate household. Your spouse and those who live in your household that are dependent on you. That is your next priority. Then, if you have resources beyond that level, if God has so supplied you that you have resources above what your family needs, then he says, next in priority is the household of faith. You are to look to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and look about you. That's part of why we gather together. The Bible says we're to minister one to another. And part of that ministry is materially. If we see that a brother or sister is in need, we ought to try to meet that need if we are able. Then finally, if God has so provided for you that you're able to meet your obligations to God, meet your obligations to your family, help your brothers and sisters in Christ when they have need, and you have left over than everyone else. God gives us our priorities. So someone said that if you live self-denying and just, you know, being willing to give to anyone, then people are going to take advantage of you. And I said, no, if you do it right, they can't. And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, I have a limited number of resources. I can't just give away everything. If you come to me and you want, you know, my whole paycheck, I'm going to say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I have to make sure that food is on my family's table and that they have what they need first. Then I have to make sure that my brethren in my church don't need something from me. And then if I have left over, I'm not just going to hand it to you. I need to know that that's a need and that you're not just trying to trick me to supply your sin. So if you do it right, people can't take advantage of you. So this week, you are going to have opportunities. And remember, we're not just talking about money. I know some of us, we're not as strong with the talking. Or we're not as strong with the compassion department. We're stronger with the finances. Or we're stronger with the doing. And that's awesome. You can excel at that. But that doesn't mean don't try these other areas. I mean, I'm pretty lame at a lot of the practical stuff, but when Lawrence got here and his car was making noise, I said, hey, why don't we drive it around the block? And I said, I've had a lot of, you know, car problems over the years. Maybe, you know, it'll remind me of something and I can help you figure out what's going on. I actually helped a guy figure out it was his starter once. I was like, you know what? This sounds just like when my starter went bad, you know. And it turned out I was right. It was his starter. Not because I'm a mechanical genius. It just reminded me of the same problem I had had. Now, unfortunately, it was pretty obvious that we didn't get out of the parking spot. He put it in reverse. He turned on the car, and it was rattling. You'd hear it under the hood, just making this horrible, like, pieces were bouncing around inside the engine. And he put it in reverse, and nothing happened. So I said, well, I guess we're not going anywhere. But you can try. You can try to say the kind words. Heidi shared with me how she felt bad because she's not strong on talking, but when Mrs. Thompson's mom died, she wanted to reach out in love. And she told me, she said, she just straight out told Mrs. Thompson, I'm horrible at this. I don't know what to say, but I want you to know I love you, and I'm so sorry your mom died. So you're going to have opportunities. You will have opportunities to show love. If nothing else, you can smile at someone and tell them hi. Look for those opportunities. God's going to bring people into your life. And the most important opportunity that God may give you this week is you may get the chance to tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ and how much he loved them and that God loves them and wants to have a relationship with them. You may have that opportunity, but you know what? You can't see if you're not looking. If we're going around like this, or sitting in front of the TV like this all the time, are we ever going to see those people in need? No, I don't think so. We need to expose ourselves to people. Phoebe, hope she doesn't mind my bringing her up. Phoebe, we were talking about, would you rather live in a city, out in the country? You know, what would you rather? And she made a comment about being out in the rural, far enough away that she could get away from people, you know? And I said, the problem with isolating yourself is that it makes it really hard to obey God about loving your neighbor. I understand the country is beautiful. I lived up in the mountains in Oregon, and it was just, you know, every morning you step outside and you look around and you go, wow, this is so pretty. But our work is about people and loving people for Christ's sake. All right. Well, thank you for your time. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you might work among us now. Lord, I know that most of the people here make a profession of faith in Christ, and I thank you for that. But if by chance there's anyone here who has never accepted Christ as Savior, I pray, Father, that even now you might awaken in them an understanding that they need Jesus. They need life from you, that they are a creature, a person bound over to death. I pray, Father, for those who have accepted Christ as their Savior, that you might work in them. Lord, if any of us, I imagine, Father, that maybe all of us, to one degree or another, have our channels blocked with sin. I pray that you might move in us, that we might confess our sins and seek cleansing from you, that we might have your grace flow through us. Father, I pray that you be with us this week and that you open our eyes, that we might see the needs of others and see the opportunities that you present, to us to show others your love and to meet needs for Christ's sake. Bless now, Father, this time of invitation. In the name of your Son, Jesus, pray all these things. Amen.